everybody. Good night. Good evening. Hello. It's a Saturday, January 28th, 2012. Already here. I can't believe it's 2012. Can you believe it's already January's almost over, Gus?
Less than a year to live.
Less than a year. This is true. End of the world, December 21st, 2012. On that happy note, welcome. Thank you for listening to the call sheet.
You did start with good night, did you not?
I did good night. But, you know, if you say good morning, can't you say good night?
Apparently you
can. The French do it that way. They do like bonne nuit.
Yeah,
like, but good night.
Yeah, but in this country, we don't like to do stuff the French do.
We do nothing that the French do.
No.
Freedom fries. That was the biggest trot of stupidity I've ever seen in my life. Really? Freedom fries? Freedom doors?
40% less French is what they were now.
Freedom kissing. Come here, honey. I'm going to do some freedom kissing.
They did that back in World War II, I believe. It was a freedom cabbage is what. I'm dead serious. This is like, there's obscure things I remember. There's like 9 random things I remember from social studies classes. Over
cabbage
here.
For victory.
It was literally, there was freedom cabbage was, what was it? Sauerkraut is what they changed it to.
Oh, that's great.
Because then you can eat it.
But then in the 90s, it was just politically incorrect to do anything like that. No kraut, no.
There's no kraut. No kraut at all.
This is good Mick food. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't get away with that too often anymore.
No, you can't. Well, good. Hello, everybody. The number to call in, if you're listening live here, 8 o'clock Pacific on Saturday nights, that's 11 Eastern, I think. Nova Scotia is like 11:30. Is that how that works?
Sure.
Newfoundland is that?
What am I, an atlas? Like how do I have no? I have no idea.
There's a half time zone in there somewhere. The number is 800-893-9562. That number again is 1-800-893-9562. We want you to call in. We are all January. We've been doing. What do we call it?
Our favorite sitcoms of all time.
Favorite top sitcoms, favorite sitcoms. Tonight we're trying to wean the list down to just 10 shows.
Which, not bad, because right now I believe I have, let me see here, it's a lot of scribbling, but I have about 1,400 listed. We're going to try to get that down to 10. Well, maybe it's like 40.
Could be a long show tonight, folks. I don't know. Well, the TV shows, what did we just have? All of the awards and stuff came out, all for the features.
The Oscar nominees.
Yep. But we are celebrating TV, so call in with your favorite show. We've been talking about all the greats, your Seinfelds, your
let me rattle
Cosby
off.
Shows
let me
and
rattle
stuff.
Off yeah, yeah, some yeah. of the ones we have on here already. We have Happy Days is on there, Seinfeld, Cheers. I will not until late, we'll get to this in a moment, but I will not take off Welcome Back, Kotter until I have to. Mork and Mindy is written on there, MASH, Dick Van Dyke Show, The Cosby Show, Soap, oh. Taxi, Friends, The Simpsons, Married with Children Shit. Somehow made the list.
I'm already Company. The top 10's getting really crowded in my head.
Family Ties, Good Times, Home Improvement, I Love Lucy, South Park, Family Guy, Gilligan's Island, Fresh Prince, Golden Girls, Brady Bunch. I think that is...
Wow.
I think the Brady Bunch is one of the most overrated shows of all time.
Do you think that the Golden Girls is too... I didn't watch Golden Girls.
You watched the Golden Girls.
It wasn't my demographic, I guess,
you
but it was a pretty popular show. Very popular show.
You're an enormous Estelle Getty fan.
I wrote a spec script for Golden Girls.
Did you really?
No, I know nothing about the show.
Sure. It was a very, very funny show. Very, very funny show. You're gonna tell me that the average age of the cast was like 194 years old at that point in time.
Thank you for being a trans.
they were great. That was
Blanche.
Very funny show. is that your B.
No.
Arthur impression?
No. How did we get the golden? Well,
I think
the golden
I always
Girls
sound like B. Arthur.
I can't put that in my top 10.
I'm constantly doing a B. Arthur impression at all times. The perpetual B. Arthur impression I got going. The Jeffersons.
Oh, yeah.
Get Smart.
Would you count, would a lot of these shows be one that you watched in rerun as a kid and you were like, oh, I gotta watch this, I have to catch this, or were you more excited about the Dukes of Hazzards and the Hulks and stuff, the new shows?
Dukes of Hazzard, I was a huge fan of. I remember getting punished once and crying in the room because I was not, that was what I was missing. I want to watch the Dukes of Hazzard, which basically meant let me the hell out of my room. But that's specifically what I was angry at that time. I remember that. Sadly, I was 27, so that was no good. That was not a high point. But for the most part, Happy Days is one of my favorites of all time. Welcome Back, Kotter. I used to watch those.
Happy Days is like comfort food. It's like
watch it with the family.
Hormones they put in like fake milk, you know, for babies, like baby formula. It's really comforting and fills your belly. Happy Days is always good.
Gary Marshall could have taken my bar mitzvah tape and made it into a series for that. There was like that whole decade or two where he was just everything. He's like, you know what? Oh, look at that person at the post office. Screw it. We're going to make a series out of that guy right there. That guy's kind of funny.
You know, I'm already feeling Mork and Mindy maybe not in the top 10 just because it was a spinoff and they were just trying to find something to do with Robin Williams. I mean, great show. Absolutely great show. But I don't know if we can count top 10. I'm just trying to pre-edit here.
No, it's good. And that's a good idea. It's a very good idea. But now let me ask you this. Knowing, because this kind of thing, this may be a little too sports related for you, but knowing the substances that Robin Williams was supposedly on at that point in time, does it hurt him when are you taking into consideration that he is acting with some sort of performance enhancing drug?
I'm sure everyone in the 70s and 80s were on a performance. Crystal Bernard was doing crystal. You know what I mean? Don't we have a story on that of a game show, a daytime show, being under the influence, working on the what was it called with the naming of the letters?
Mr. Sajak just came out.
Yes. No.
Did you see my confused look? I had no idea what you
were so
about.
Confused. Oh. I was like 12 notes ahead of you. Yeah. But but it ties in because you had great dirt on one of my, actually, I love this show too, Wheel of Fortune.
Wheel of Fortune, one of the all-time greats. But Pat Sajak in a recent article came out and said that, I believe it was on ESPN's, Dan Le Batard is highly questionable, the name of the program. And he had told him that he was drunk. He and Vanna used to get drunk early on.
Yeah.
Between shows, I guess, they would have some downtime and they would run across to the Mexican restaurant and suck down some margaritas and come back and spell their asses off for a little while.
That's great. No, it's an A. Vanna, wrong area. She's just completely off.
Close enough.
He has a free letter. Here you go. We're just going to spin this over. Remember when they went from her spinning the letters to the electronic and she just would touch them?
Yeah.
I'm still getting paid a lot of money just to touch these letters.
You mock, but that was three more weeks of letter school that she had to go to for training. That's
like
not
working with
around.
ENIAC.
Yeah. I wish Sajak would have actually, with Vanna, they also would have taken Jeopardy guy with him because he seems like he can use a drink on occasion. Alex? Alex Trebek?
I'm sure he does.
Oh, my God. Can we get that guy drunk, please?
He's so, you know, they do pickups. If he mispronounces something or anything slightly, he does an off-the-cuff that's even, they were like, total retape. The researchers are like, that's not right. They're like, oh, absolutely. And he's right on it. I went up for Jeopardy.
Is that true?
Absolutely.
How close did you get?
I thought I was really a smart guy. They told us to go home and tell everyone we missed by one question.
Is that what they told you?
That's what they told us.
Did they tell you to tell people that?
Yeah, they told us to tell people that, but they wouldn't tell us our actual scores.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So when you say that you had some confidence, it apparently was shot down.
It was because I do okay on Jeopardy. You know, there's certain areas. I'm great with like Greek gods and weird shit like that. But some of the, you know, when they got obscure. Into like, which, you know, secession of the throne of England was this? I'm like, I'm lost. I'm totally in the weeds.
Were you just sitting there with your fingers crossed going, oh, come on, give me one of the four categories I know. Come on, give me the four categories.
Winston Churchill. I don't know. Anything with, like, Margaret Thatcher. I don't know. Anything Europe or England, I was like,
I have a friend who made it all the way through, came in second or third. He did not win, but he did make it through to the show. And then when my folks were in town, we went on a tour and we stopped by, on the Sony lot tour, I believe it was.
Yes.
We stopped by that studio and they give you a few facts. He wasn't there, but apparently that's one of the best gigs in the world, dude. That guy works for like 9 minutes a year. They squeeze in a season's worth of shows in like 9 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then that's it. Then he goes back to Canada and wrestles bears or something. I don't know what he does. Works on his accent.
In 2 days, they shoot five shows. So two shows one day, three shows the next. And they tell all of the contestants on the first day, you need to bring all of your clothes. You know, some people from out of town, whatever. They're like, you bring all five changes in case you win. You could win the second show of the first day and all of a sudden you're back shooting for the third, whatever. So they had to, you know, bring all these changes and pretend like it was the next day. Oh, you know, yeah, yesterday was a great game for me. So there's still total illusion, all reality shows, all game shows rigged. Remember that game show movie with Ralph Fiennes?
No.
Quiz show.
Quiz show, quiz, yes. Show. Now I do. Now I remember.
The ethics, the moralities of balancing.
That was based on a true story, though.
Balancing
correct?
Popularity, viewership
versus
likability.
That was based on a true story, correct?
Totally based on a true story. And it was a, you know, silver spoon guy that, you know, the perfect person to, like, win. They wanted him to win, and so they rigged it. And not by giving him the answers, they just went back to his tryout test, and they found answers he did well on and fed him those answers on live TV.
They used,
so he was just as shocked, too. He's like, I know this. I mean, they know I know this, line. Too.
They used that storyline in an early Happy Days episode with Richie. And sadly, now that you're saying this, I'm thinking about it, I'm going, holy shit, most of my history comes from old Happy Days episodes. I'm like, do you remember that time when I was going to run off and join the French Foreign Legion? Oh, God damn it, that was Ralph Malph. That wasn't me either. Man, that's tough.
Ralph Malph. Wow. I had an aunt. Who was the Williams?
You got to give me more than Williams. Tennessee Williams.
The, not Ralph Malph, but the other.
Potsy.
Friend. Potsy. So Potsy had
Anson
music.
Williams.
Anson Williams. I had an Anson Williams LP. This is bad.
I'm one of the biggest Happy Days fans ever, but that is bad.
Cheesy. So
you had an Anson Williams?
Richard Clayderman, like, rocked compared to Anson Williams.
You got yourself a Potsy album? Is that what you're telling
me? Yeah, I had a Potsy album. It was like entitled like Smiles and Rainbows or something. It was so bad.
Wow.
It's not entitled that, and I'm sure, you know, he's...
That is hard to not make fun of.
Upset that I just that said
is,
that.
No, I'm sure Anthony Williams is still hoping those sales jump up. I'm sure there's good hope for that.
You'd mentioned Welcome Back, Carter.
Yes, rest in peace, Juan Luis Pedro Felipe de Huevos Epstein.
No, what a sad loss.
Robert Hedges passed away at 60 years of old, 60 years of age.
Was it a heart failure?
Attack. Yes.
Heart attack. Oh, man.
One of the great ensemble casts. You know, that show was only on for 4 or 5 years max, and one of those years, Travolta was already off, Mr. Cotter was already off. You know, the year where they brought in the little redheaded kid to replace, you know, Gary Coleman. They brought him onto that show, too. They're like, look, we're missing a couple of sweat hogs. Give me some young redheaded kid. Maybe is Raven Simone old enough yet? No?
They don't even try. They used to get people that look vaguely close to them, same body type, same kind of like casting type. And then they started veering. They're like, we're going to try a Roger and bring in Roger, you know, to take up some Fonzie time or something.
Well, you can't do that. You can't. It's once you replace a main character, it is so, so hard.
The official term is called jumping the shark.
And what show did that come from?
Happy fucking day.
That's where history
when
and knowledge
Fonzie
comes
jumped
from.
Jumped the shark. Well, any episode where there's a sitcom leaves the familiar environs of their little three-set studio world, they're either filming something on their back lot or they'll go to Paris. It'll be like Growing Pains goes to Paris.
I believe, yeah.
Which they did.
Did they really?
Oh, I'm sure.
I'm sure they did. Yeah. I'm sure. Facts of Life used to travel all over the place. They were all over the place.
Those chicks got around, man. Mrs. Garrett was a pretty hip chick.
Yeah, well, yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Mrs. Garrett, she can take care of a whole mess of people.
And the Facts of Life was a spinoff of Different Strokes.
Yes.
And I have the theme for that.
No, that was a great one. I used to love that show.
I love that show, too. Is it because kids were in it? Did you watch it because it was other kids? Because the situation was a big deal to me.
I wanted Gary Coleman. I wanted Gary Coleman as a little brother.
Right.
That's what I wanted.
I like the room. It wasn't overly done, like Silver Spoons with toys. They didn't spoil them too bad. It was a normal, you could identify with what they had in the room. Little goldfish. What do you call that goldfish?
Abraham.
Abraham. Well pulled from the deep Gus files.
Thank you very much. I watched some TV as a child. That was me and my brother. That was basically, you know, my brother was Willis. If he got upset and said we had to go, you know, he overheard something in the other room, came back, was like, oh, dad must be racist and doesn't really like us. We got to go, little brother. And we would pack the bags and you'd be like, what? What's happening, Willis? You'd be like, oh, don't worry about it. We'll figure it out in 22 minutes. And that was basically it. That was my life, was I followed him around for a little while as well. And I thought it was an outside chance we were going to get Gary Coleman one year. Didn't happen. Oh. Didn't happen. That kid was adorable.
That was actually,
I didn't know he was 45 years old when he was filming that, but he was adorable.
They dealt with sexuality a lot. They had a lot of dates. Both Arnold and Willis like kind of got some, or there were plots built
around. Willis was dating Janet Jackson.
Someone. Yeah.
Willis was dating Janet Jackson.
Yeah, yeah.
For most of that show, he was
dating Arnold
Janet
was
Jackson.
In the bicycle shop. That's right.
Yeah, no, that was different kind of action. That was...
I had to go there.
Yeah, you did. That was a little more Sandusky-ish. That was a little... That was That's a little. Speaking of which, Joe Pa, did you see the? Did you see how many people lined up for the public viewing? I mean, and I'm not taking anything away from it, but the public viewings creep me out. They creep me out. Now, I understand it's for respect and all that, and that, so that's fine. But
is he Catholic? Just out of curiosity, because that's Catholics do that. We would take another look. Yeah, fucker's dead. Good. All right.
I would assume he was. He's not. He certainly wasn't Jewish. I know that. But I don't,
my family did all open caskets.
I don't hear. I say when I die, dreadful. I would rather just be put like in the backyard with like on a lawn chair with an umbrella and a drink in my hand, and then just eventually.
That's pretty Irish, dude.
Well,
we would totally prop you up in the bar.
That's what I'm saying. Let it happen. Well, the bar is going to stink. You may want to put me outside, but there's something about being buried. The strange thing about me not wanting to be buried dead is I'm too scared of being buried alive. So for the most part, I say just leave me out and don't burn me. That can't be good. So. Leave me outside, let the animals get me, let me look like I'm having a good time.
Modern medicine has reached the point they can tell if you're really dead. They don't have to do the little bells with the strings, or they used to do glass coffins so you could see and look down in there and make sure that they weren't still kicking.
I don't trust people. I don't trust them. I don't trust them one bit. Leave me outside, maybe I'll shake it off. I've seen too many sitcoms where they're like, oh, God, he's dead, let's throw him away. And then like 14 minutes later, the guy's like, oh, God, it was a heavy sleep. Don't want it.
Oh.
Don't want it.
What if Charlie Sheen works it out with Chuck Lorre and all of a sudden we have a up and Charlie wakes up and he's back on the show? Wouldn't that be a kick? No. You watching 2.5 Men?
No. By the way, that was the strangest segue I've ever heard in my life. But no, I did not. No. I don't. Well, I mean,
was it a segue? Oh, were we talking about something like that?
No. We were fine going off on whatever topic. I just had no idea. I'm like, who's waking up? Charlie Sheen's waking up? Oh, okay. I had no idea where the hell Charlie Sheen came from when he was waking up, but this technically can all be a Charlie Sheen dream, as far as I know.
Oh, man. Yeah, Jumping the Shark and shows that absolutely did that. Sometimes they get away with it, though. Like, Facts of Life, I remember they replaced Molly Ringwald, who was on, like, first season, but then she wasn't on the show after that.
Well, the first season of Facts of Life had, like, 30 girls, and then they cut it down to... They cut it down to one chunky Jewish girl, Tootie, and Mindy Cohn. Mindy Cohn, Tootie... And Blair and Joe. That's what you got. That's what I got. That's
Blair. Oh, God.
And then like, after God knows how many seasons, somehow they all just got to, like, parents played such a little role. They just trusted Mrs. Garrett with everything. Like, hey, you know what? No, don't worry about it. The lady at the school's got it. Don't worry about it. It's fine. It's fine. She's a dietitian, so don't worry about it. She can take care of it.
It's okay that George Clooney's around. You can trust the children with George Clooney. These young women coming of age, don't worry, and George Clooney.
He was good. It's a shame he couldn't make anything of himself.
Was he just generally fixing things up there? Was that his role? Was he like...
Yeah, he was...
Plumber crack kind of thing going on.
He was fix things and smirk at girls. That's what he did. They said, we need someone to smirk, bring him in. And
I stopped watching, and they had jumped the shark. By the time when they moved, when they did changed it from them being in the dorm and like going to school to them running a fucking bakery shop or whatever.
You're talking about Edna's Edibles? Is that what you're talking about?
Did you know that disturbs me and other viewers and listeners?
Abraham.
Who, if you have comments, concerns, questions about Gus's knowledge of the facts of life, call in 800-893-9562. That number again is 1-800-893. The secret password is 9562.
Okay, so let me ask you. Oscar nominees came out. And the one surprise for me.
Yeah.
And this is mostly a surprise for you, but it makes me happy to say, is the best supporting nod for Jonah Hill.
Boils my blood. I'm not even going to try to hide it.
Why?
And I'm
no,
not
no.
going to be not bitter, and I'm not going to be not the most jealous fucking actor on the planet right now going, really? Academy.
This is awesome.
Oscars? Really? This is what they've done? I mean, it's a good movie. It's a good movie. But Moneyball, I don't think was even Best Picture. Maybe screenplay? Absolutely. Oh, my God. But I didn't see Brad Pitt doing anything, stretching in any way.
Moneyball was nominated for Best Picture.
And I cannot believe... who were the other people up? Max von Sydow?
Kenneth Branagh. Yep. Nick Nolte for Warrior. Kenneth Branagh for My Week with Marilyn. Christopher Plummer for Beginners. And Max von Sydow, which I always thought it was Sydow. But Sydow, extremely loud and incredibly close.
Who were the younger ones? Kenneth Branagh and...
Nick Nolte, Christopher Plummer.
Oh, Nick Nolte's the younger one. With
Jonah Hill.
Out of the four people, Nick Nolte's the third youngest. And then Kenneth Branagh is the youngest next to that. This nominee, Jonah Hill? Really? I've already covered on the call sheet my bitterness about The Sitter. Anyone doing babysitter movies, horror, comedy, whatever, you don't call me. That's just a complete oversight.
This was my favorite topic to bring up coming into the show.
No, I'm not going to hide it. I'm not going to be like, oh no, that's fine.
I'll tell you what.
Said about that.
If you were hiding it, you're doing a fucking horrible job of hiding it. I can tell you that right now. But that is fantastic. Well, wow. Here's the thing. First of all, I'm going to get into why you apparently hate Jonah Hill so much. But I mean, they went, you know what? Look, we don't want you to just, someone in there said to him, his agent or his PR people said, you're limiting yourself as the funny friend. So they put him on the Seth Rogen diet. They said, we're either sucking stuff out of you or we're going to tie you up and put you on a treadmill and not let you out until you look too small for
your head. Moneyball is actually a spiked, flaming danger ball we keep tossing in your head.
That being said, it worked. The man was nominated for an Oscar.
No shit.
I got nothing but love for him. Apparently he's pissing you off. Why is that?
It pisses me off. The Academy couldn't find one supporting performance, you know, in there. I don't think it was really, really remarkable.
The weight loss was remarkable.
Yeah, just to pause for
was the weight loss not remarkable?
An Oscar just for weight loss?
Sure.
That's a stunt.
You can give him Biggest Loser for that. I give him the Biggest Loser for that one. So that's it. You saw it. Did you have a problem with his performance?
No problem. But it didn't stand out. When I was watching Moneyball, going, you know what? They really should nominate him for an Academy Award.
Okay,
I didn't come across when I was watching it. I think it was balance to the Melissa McCartney nomination for Bridesmaids.
Well, how so?
Because that's a comedy film and she's a supporting actress nominee up against, you know, other heavier kind of roles. They're like, well, we'll balance it out. We'll do one.
I can't tell if you're making a weight joke right now or not.
No. I'm not. No weight joke at all. I'm talking about they got one, best supporting actress nominee and one best supporting actor nominee from comedies. Rare enough that they make any impact on Academy. When was the last comedy you remember winning Best Picture?
I don't remember a comedy winning Best Picture.
MASH is one that comes to mind. It's one of the only comedies I can think of. Annie Hall is another one.
Is MASH listed as a comedy?
I would say it's serial comic, but I would say it's a satire, which falls under the comedy kind of realm. Yeah, it's a comedy.
That's
They made a pretty fun comedy series that ran for 11 years.
Well, there's no doubt, but I mean, I would assume they either have to fit it. Okay, the category was not that long rambling thing you just said. It's either comedy or drama. I don't know which one that one is for a movie.
But for Oscars, they don't differentiate. So, like, it's rare that a Chicago will win because Chicago's like musical.
Oh, that's a valid point, though.
Musicals fall into like comedy thing. They don't know. Comedies don't, you know, they rarely get. Same with horror films and westerns. Very rare. So your Unforgivens, your Silence of the Lambs, those are few and far between. Most of it is drama, 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 drama. Histories, war histories, that kind of stuff is Oscar material.
Yeah.
Broadening. Obviously, they have more nominees now.
There is also a tendency for beautiful women to play the ugliest person they can to get nominated.
That's the guy's formula. You lose a bunch of weight and shift if you were doing, you know, comedy, then do your Majestic and your Jim Carrey and you get your nomination.
Now, Seth Rogen and Jonah Hill did the opposite of, say...
They're different people?
Well, no, what they did... yes, actually, I have seen them in the same place at the same time. But they actually went the opposite, because for years there was the... it was the heavier... Certain people, the heavier they get, Aykroyd and Joe Piscopo come to mind. You can tell immediately when you see them in a clip how much weight they have on. The heavier Aykroyd is, probably later in his career, not as funny. Joe Piscopo, when he was with Saturday Night Live with Eddie Murphy, although you could have put the Pope with Eddie Murphy and he would have been funny for those years, but Joe Piscopo was hysterical. And then all of a sudden, he traded in his funny for muscles. And then that was...
Oh, the only one that I think is Carrot Top with the muscles. He went way crazy on that, but he's got just as good as an act as he's always had.
Well, but what happened to his face? Do you see his face?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Like that lion face lady that got all the plastic surgery or something. Maybe it's, you know, I don't know if he does roids or whatever, but I think working out does.
It's like somebody picked up an ugly person and beat him in the face with the ugly person. It's not a good look, but he is quite successful.
So do you see causality between weight and funniness?
No, because apparently now I got
because
multiple
Steven Seagal
examples.
Is getting funnier as he gets heavier.
Different kind, yes, different funny. But no, I see too many examples going in opposite directions. But no, Steven Seagal is a great example. Purposely funny? No. So in our little breakup section, by the way, we have Heidi Klum and Seal. How long they've been together?
Longer than you would have thought, only because of, you know, Seal. Yeah, you know, it was funny. Girls listen to the music. Oh, I love Seal. Put it on. Turn it up. It's Seal.
How do they do it? How do they do it again?
Oh, my God. Turn it up. It's Seal. Rose or whatever. He's Kiss from a Rose. But, you know, so he marries the model. It was like, oh, and he's got these, you know, keloid scars on his face. And it just, we were like, oh, it's true love. Oh, that's great. I actually thought it would last forever.
Did you really?
I didn't see it coming. I didn't see the breakup coming.
Seriously?
Yeah. They've had kids. I did not see it. And then, you know, he's even talking about reconciling and he still wears the ring. And
I love you when I say that you apparently are way dumber than I give you credit for. You didn't see it coming. You saw people in the entertainment business getting married and you're like, oh man, this is going to last.
Well, you don't break it up into seasons? If it lasts more than 72 days, then it was a success. I mean,
yes.
This was like a 7-year union or nine. How long were they together for, Seal and Heidi Klum? Research on that?
1 year per facial score.
Okay, we have a call. I would like to take a call. My God, Gus, we have a call.
Well, why do you do that? Who are you when you answer the call?
Well, when I say call, that means it's from New York. We have Andrew on the line. How are
you
tonight, Andrew?
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Hey, thanks for calling in.
No problem. I have to just jump in on the Seth Rogen thing, because I have to say, I'm a big Seth Rogen fan. And, I mean, I guess you were saying the weight difference, but he's pretty funny, matter fat or not fat, so far.
Yes. Yeah, well, Seth Rogen has actually pulled it off relatively well, although it does look like they put him in a dryer for a couple of days.
I didn't like the Green Hornet.
Oh, yeah, the Green Hornet.
No, that was not a great movie.
Was that not one of the main reasons why they put him in the dryer for those couple of days? Was so he can become a superhero? You can't be. What's the heavy superhero? Give me a heavy superhero. So they said, Seth, we have a superhero role for you, but you're going to have to drop about 3 X's in that XXL. And he went, okay, great. And then that movie blew.
I thought Seth Rogen in the Adam Sandler picture was more appropriate. What, Funny People?
Funny People.
But that was a weird movie.
Yeah, that could have gotten more Oscar consideration than Moneyball. I just didn't get that.
It's tough. It's tough. Andrew, did you see Moneyball?
Yes, I saw Moneyball.
What do you think of Jonah Hill?
I thought he was great in that movie.
Apparently, Keith has some sort of strong hatred for babysitter actors.
They had to overlook people to go, yeah, Jonah Hill.
I thought he was really, really good in that movie.
You see, not everybody dislikes people who drop 70 to 80 pounds.
Come on, Keith.
Maybe I'm pushing it a little far just for entertainment value. Maybe I just like to see Gus get all happy when I get upset about Jonah Hill.
I have to say, with Seth Rogen, before that movie, I always thought of him as kind of a goofball. Like, he was in, the stupid movies. You know what I mean? Everything was like a dumb, funny movie. And Moneyball, I thought he did a good job, and I thought it was a great movie.
That's not Seth Rogen. You have Jonah Hill, you mean?
I told you they're the same people,
Jonah
Gus.
Jonah Hill, I screwed that one up.
Yeah. They're the same people.
Yeah,
I'm
convinced. You just backed up Keith's theory of they might be the same person.
Oh, well, you set me up bad. Come on.
Do you know if they knew each other or had any... Because, you know, in Funny People, they were before that.
They worked together
before that, right?
Yeah, they worked together in... Superbad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Superbad was a good movie.
Superbad was very funny, but that was... You know, they were both.
Jonah played a character named Seth because it was written in for Seth Rogen when they were younger. They wrote it in high school, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, so, I mean, they've known each other for years, and they were both. Neither one of them had gone through the...
To me, they're the same person. They're two guys. They're just, I don't know.
Just one's a few years older than the other one, I think. That's basically
And they've been in a few movies together right now. I mean, they were both in...
Yeah, I think they all have the same group of friends.
Seth Rogen was the cop. Movie they were both in.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think they're all from the same group of friends, the same guys that do all those movies, I believe, are all pals, including Steve Carell, I believe, is also among that group of friends. Mm-hmm. But I like them both. I actually like them both. I didn't see Moneyball yet, but I think they're both great. But there was definitely a noticeable transformation for both of them, and I seriously doubt they'd just change their eating habits.
I guess. I mean, yeah.
Do you have any? We're cutting down our favorite sitcom of all time. What's your favorite sitcom of all time?
Well, let me jump in. Because I don't know, sorry, I missed the first couple of minutes when you guys were talking, the first 20 minutes, but you saw one of the Sweat Hogs, Pets to Win.
Yeah.
You guys talked about that at all.
Yeah, Robert Hedges.
It was one of my good ones, and in fact, Epstein died the other day was kind of sad.
Yeah, that's why I refuse to take them off the list until we're down to close to 10, but... That's one of my favorites. That was, and you know what shocked me is we were looking at that some info on that, and that show's only been on for like 4 years.
Yeah, but it was I saw that when I saw that he died, and I was reading and it said he was on for 4 years. I'm like, really? Like that was one of the shows that made such impact. So I was shocked that was only 4 years.
Such a great ensemble cast. Rarely can you say that when there was five of them in a room and they were just so good.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Happy Days to me was a good one. I had a younger brother that was a big Happy Days fan. So I have to say we watch Happy Days all the time.
Nice. That show had itself a good 65-year run, I believe.
But that was one of my favorites.
That is a good one. Also one of the most memorable characters of all time.
And, I mean, I know you guys are big on MASH, but I have to say, even though MASH was so popular, I just never got into it.
Mm. Well, was it just either not your thing or not your time? I mean,
Not my thing.
I mean, but obviously, for years, the ending show of MASH was the most watched program for decades.
Without a doubt. And it definitely was my time. I'm no spring chicken. But it definitely was I just never got into that. I was more of the, even though it was comedy MASH, I just never... I don't know. To me, Happy Days is a lot more.
Had you seen the film MASH, or was that on your radar at all?
You making a radar MASH joke?
It was so subliminal. I don't know.
He's running with it.
No, were you aware of the movie, or was that also not your cup of tea?
Never hit my radar. Gone.
Okay.
Not a MASH fan. Man looking for less death. He wants less death and injured people in his
That's
comedy.
That's what was so funny about it. They made jokes while they were bleeding.
That was kind of my problem with MASH. Most of the MASH episodes I ever saw were all in the reruns. And it was, you know, I don't like laughing. And then 3 minutes later, Hawkeye's pulling somebody's intestines out. And that's a downer for a comedy for me.
Yeah. And they started getting bored. They were breaking ground, like doing the one with the clock down in the... The guy had to have like a heart valve replaced in so much time or he'd die. And in the lower right-hand corner of the screen, they had a ticking clock. And it's in real time. And there was no laugh track on that one episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh.
But they were just like, dude, it's like ninth season. Let's try something different.
Let's light Klinger on fire and see if we can get through the whole episode. Nice. No, that's...
I don't know if this show hits your list at all, but what about like White Shadow? Did that hit it? White Shadow.
No, that's awesome.
I don't know how many years it was on, but I have to say, I'm showing my age, but I loved that show. Like, I just thought, like, Salami and that whole group was hilarious.
First of all, Salami was the only character I can remember from that, which is awesome. When you can remember a guy named Salami, you don't need to remember anybody else. But that is fantastic, but I can't see... How White Shadow can make the top 10 of all time.
No. I'm just saying I thought it was a great show. Maybe not top 10.
but I love wanna, it's a I great reference.
Make sure they get their recognition.
You want White Shadow? Now, do you think there's like 8 other people that were on White Shadow listening right now? Like, yeah! Mention.
Ken Howard.
Who?
Yeah, that was the guy, the coach.
Yeah.
Who?
Ken Howard, come on.
Really?
Come on.
Right? Am I right?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
Was he the White Shadow?
No, he was, I don't know.
Who is the White Shadow? Was that a person?
It was too racial for me. I couldn't watch the show.
Was that a person? Was there an actual person that was referred to, that they were referring to as the White Shadow? Was that the coach?
I don't know. I just know there were, I don't know.
I mean, it can't be Salami.
I would have thought of Salami, too, because he was the one white guy on the team.
Yeah, but it can't be Salami, because if it's named after him, you just named the show Salami.
Good call.
I mean, you want to take advantage of a guy being named Salami if you have that opportunity, I think. Now, what about new shows? You watch, like, Modern Family or Family Guy or any of those things?
I definitely watch Modern Family. I watch Family Guy every once in a while. I'm a big Bang Theory fan.
Big Bang Theory. That's a funny show.
I like me some. That's another Chuck Lorre show. And Big Bang Theory is another nerd show that's doing well. Liz Lemon on 30 Rock.
Yeah, I mean, it's like entertaining. Yeah. 30 minutes, I laugh, and it's done.
That's all. That means you're laughing straight through the commercials. That's fantastic.
Oh, Will. No, I fast Wheaton. Forward. So I'm laughing for 24 minutes.
Will Wheaton. Will Wheaton.
He plays evil Will Wheaton on Big Bang Theory. He has a reoccurring where he's...
listening to him talk makes me laugh.
That is very funny. Very funny.
And not comedy, I would go with, for right now, I'm a big... Hawaii
5-0
and NCIS LA.
Hawaii 5-0 actually, strangely enough, was on the list before we narrowed it down. One of our earlier callers said Hawaii 5-0. Somehow that got scribbled onto my list. I'm right here next to things I need to buy when I go shopping. What was the second one you said?
NCIS LA.
NCIS LA. How the hell
can
you differentiate?
And I never thought I would... Well, let me go back to Hawaii 5-0. I never watched the original Hawaii 5-0, but this one, I mean, it's entertaining. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. It keeps me entertained for... Again, I skipped the commercial.
No, it is. That is a fun
48 minutes.
That is a fun one. I've seen the new one. I didn't watch any of the original, but I've seen the new
Three's
one.
Three's Company.
Fun. Three's Company.
We have to put Three's Company on the top
Three's Company
all the time.
Awesome.
Just
Three's
came
Company
to me.
Awesome.
Three's
Company is
on the list. It's on the list.
Okay.
It's already on. Yeah.
I can't even imagine without Three's Company.
No. That is where I learned about a whole bunch of things.
So what do you have as a top 10?
We haven't narrowed down to the top 10 yet. We're trying to squinch the list.
Tell me when you're going to, because I will call back again. We're
going to finish up our top 10. We're going to finish with 10 this evening. So so we can move on to a new list next month. But
awesome.
We will finish off definitely at some point. We're going to try to spend the rest of the time narrowing down some of this. We know Seinfeld's going to make it. Happy Days so far is getting a lot of love.
It's pretty close. I think Happy Days is on there.
Three's Company's getting a good amount of love.
Cosby Show, I think, always fits on there.
Yeah, Cosby Show.
Cosby Show is hard. Cheers is hard to not have up there as well.
Yep.
But it's so hard.
Dick Van Dyke Show or Honeymooners or I Love Lucy, you know, one of those has got to be on there.
It's a lot to make a top 10.
It is a hard list.
That is hard.
And I'm going off of ones I liked and I watched
hard to have the best of all time and not have one of those old black and white original early. You know, one of the three you just mentioned specifically. Hard to not have, even though I, you know, don't need to watch I Love Lucy because Fred Mertz's pants kept crawling up his body. But
like Mr. Ed, that could make me laugh today, tonight.
Seriously?
Right now, I could go on and turn on the TV late at night or whatever, and it's playing.
Seriously?
And it still cracks the hell out of me. Yeah, Green Acres, all that stuff. Absolutely hysterical TV.
Nothing for me. Did nothing. Mr. Ed did nothing for me. Seriously, Schindler's List was funnier than Mr. Ed.
Mr. Ed's genius, actually. Worked on many levels, because Mr. Ed could say things that human characters couldn't. They could get by all the standards and practices and codes.
Really? You think they went, well
no, it's risky. You're like, really? The horse just said that?
Did Mr. Ed just drop an F-bomb? Yeah, he did, but don't worry, it's a horse. We can't do anything about it now. Is that what you're telling me? They found a way around it? No, just make it a horse saying it. Oh, okay, cool. Nice.
Oh, it's a clever, clever show.
Well, thanks for calling, Andrew. I appreciate
it. You got it. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for adding.
Have a good night, buddy.
Hey, you too. Bye.
Oh, man. Tough to, you know, I don't know if we can narrow down tonight. Well, we'll take more suggestions. The number is 800-893-9562. Let's take a quick break, Gus. We're going to be back in just a few minutes. We have many more topics to talk about. I'm done ranting about Jonah Hill and the Oscars. Congratulations to him. Great. That's awesome. Actually, we have some great updates on Demi Moore and her shenanigans. We'll be back in just 2 minutes. 2 minutes and 2 seconds. Stick with us.
Nice.
Oh, that was great. All right. Thanks again, Jeff Fiorentino, my good friend. He makes music and he plays guitar and he helps people learn how to play guitar. He's got a site, jfrocks.com. That's where all the music you're hearing tonight is come from. So thanks a lot, Jeff, for lending us those great tunes. That was a nice little shuffle there. You like that?
That was very nice. Okay, was
razzmatazz. Jazz hands. Everybody jazz hands. Breaking news. 49-year-old Demi Moore doing whippets?
What?
Really?
Hold on. I thought it was exhaustion. They said exhaustion.
Well, TMZ.
How heavy were those
being
whippets?
Being run by a lawyer, he's pretty sure he's got his information right.
How heavy?
911 call is out. There's various versions. Some are edited, some are not. One of them, only the address is out, is edited.
Okay,
out.
Wait, real quick, before I get into making fun of a 49-year-old yes. getting in trouble for whippets, why are 911 calls released to the public?
Just ask. You officially?
Not how. 911. Why?
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 Because
why is
they people want to hear it. So they. I don't know how they get leaked. I don't know who's got the insight.
Hey, there's bad shit going on. These people are as vulnerable and emotional as they can be. Let's broadcast it.
You're a public figure, and you're calling a public service paid by taxpayer dollars. There should be openness and all that stuff, especially if someone calls and says, hey, this guy's doing something with animals next door, and I hear screams, and all of a sudden a bunch of cops come and bootjack your door in. We need to have these recordings, and they need to be public so that nobody like ratting neighbors out for shit that's not real.
Public and used for investigative purposes are different than let's play it on TMZ while somebody's freaking out over a dead body. That's I don't understand why that just
Did you see pictures of Elvis by the toilet leaked years after? Was there stuff like that? Yeah, we're fascinated by this shit. It's like driving by a car accident. You can't help but watch.
People wanting to see shit doesn't make it right.
No, they want to see movie stars act like regular people and fuck up and make mistakes and lose their money and oh, ha, ha, ha. Oh, they thought they had it all nice. They want to see Demi Moore meet adulthood because she's obviously sucking whippets like a 17-year-old. You know, how horribly desperate.
Here's the problem.
And of course, the breakup, we were talking about breakups, and there's other breakups we could talk about too.
Yes.
But she just had a huge breakup with Ashton Kutcher once again.
Which obviously they're not claiming that it's 100% that's the reason. But I mean, here's the problem. When you're going to have some sort of meltdown or substance abuse problem, certainly in this town, it's not that uncommon. The problem is everybody feels bad for you until they find out you did whippets. And then the sympathy gets replaced with you're a 49-year-old who just got caught doing whippets. And it's tough to, yeah, how bad are you going to feel? And when Ashton Kutcher is apparently the mature one in the relationship, that's not a good sign.
No, Ashton Kutcher put the whippets down years ago. You know, it really is.
You should have thrown him away. Apparently, so sorry, left him around the house.
And, you know, of course, we hope that Demi gets the help that she needs and deserves.
For exhaustion. Exhaustion. Yes. Maybe she can get her.
She's going to go on Dr. Drew Celebrity Rehab, and no, she's going to stand up in front of people and go, whippets. That's what brought the whole castle tumbling down.
No way she's going to say whippet. She's never going to say whippet in public ever. Maybe she can get a room she can bunk with Heather Locklear.
I mean, they're readily available. It's not like you can't go and get a nitrous oxide tank or go buy some whipped cream or whatever. It's like ridiculous, but that's such a club kid. What is she rolling? Dude, this is great. Oh my God. What you got? What you got? I mean, really, she got a little backpack and she's trolling around with those shoes with like little wheels and the Heelys.
She's got it. She's going to take the top bunk with Heather Locklear in whatever exhaustion place that they're in.
It's the further youthification, the over-sexualization, and they're trying to sexualize younger girls and they're pushing really thin young models. And so Demi can't be a 49-year-old.
Well, yeah, but
she has to act like.
I think I don't know about the whole. They've always been doing all that, and I mean, none of that's new. When you've been an actress who's known for being, you know, beautiful for years, and now you're 49, and your boy toy husband has been cheating on someone half your age, is not that much of a surprise that you're going to have some sort of slight meltdown. And your ex husband Bruce Willis is also married to now somebody half your age. So,
wow. And it's all public, and then these calls are public, and.
Right.
But one of the big scandals about the calls was where they live. They call in, and from where their location is, it goes to a sheriff dispatcher who then decides which district gets to handle it.
Oh, nice.
They call in, they go, yeah, we're here at this address, and they bleep it out for the call so you don't know their home address. And they go, you know, Beverly Hills. And he's go, okay, well, I'm not sure. I think that's an L.A. area covered by, like, L.A., you know, L.A. emergency services. No, it's Beverly Hills. Fine, I'll connect you. They do. And they're like, sorry, we don't cover that area. That's Los Angeles. And it's very like, oh, you know, you want to consider yourself living in, but you're Beverly Hills adjacent and you're in Los Angeles. But it's further that thing about image and holding that up and, you know, having all those yachts and, you know, the cars and, you know, the upkeep, yeah, well, and the body. And
That's not your concern. That's not your concern when you're getting driven to the hospital. You're not concerned about that much. You're concerned about, well, you're concerned enough where your friend doesn't want to say what you smoked or what you inhaled, but your image is not the first thing in your mind when you're semi-conscious and they're coming to pick you up.
And she hasn't been working a lot. The Charlie's Angels thing.
I don't know if money's the issue.
You know, Demi Moore had done. I know. But yeah, she's got to have some revenue. I mean.
No, money's not the issue. I'm sure. Well, I don't know. But I'm saying
but
I'm sure.
You don't think she has pretty healthy property tax and all that other good crap?
I'm sure. But
managers and agents and people she got to pay.
I'm sure. But then who doesn't?
Whippets to buy.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, you know, what? Maybe that's the thing to do now with Locklear smacking her ex-fiance around a little bit. That you saw how that went down. Did you hear that when she took a?
Oh yeah,
yeah, that was nice. It's like there's like they were doing leftover scenes from Melrose Place. Like, hey, we still have these three pages we never shot. Why don't I just clock you in the jaw and then maybe, you know, I'll take your dog and run.
They're shooting it for a YouTube video. Extra footage.
Say, wait, why is Andrew Hsu in the background? Is that Andrew Hsu in the background?
Some actresses do stay around forever. And, you know, she may not be known for her, like, body, but definitely her hair and image of being put together. Like, you know, I'm in charge, bitch. Oh, I'm running this apartment complex. What were the stakes on Melrose Place? Really, honestly. A fucking apartment complex. That's it? I'm going to lose my lease. I mean, there really wasn't big stakes there.
Well, and everybody was sleeping with everybody else. And,
yeah, yeah.
Everybody was sleeping
with
everybody
else. There's a dead body
else.
In the pool. Oh, yeah. God.
First thing for you to know, apparently, is that if Heather Locklear is somebody in your apartment building, people are sleeping with other people. Because every time it happens
a power
on a
jacket.
Show,
yeah.
Oh my goodness, she's that character, plays it very, very well. I don't mean in real life, I just mean
we
plays
need
it very
something
well.
Kind of like a Heather Lock.
Let's get Heather Locklear. Yes. Who can play? Oh, got it. There's another breakup, the rumored breakup. Give me that one.
Just breaking last week, Gwen Stefani and Gavin Rossdale are working out.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, shock.
And not something
so sexy,
new,
though.
Something old, an old story that he didn't come clean with her about something early on in their relationship. Like, yeah, like it wasn't something a recent item, but there was something
they're fighting over some old news she didn't know about.
Apparently, that's what's broken in the press, and I've seen it on the internet.
Are they going to be the next couple to wife swap with Gary Busey? Is that what's going to happen?
Oh, God.
Gary Busey and Gwen Stefani.
Stefani. Thank you for that image in my head.
Oh, my
That's
goodness.
Good. That's, just cross that right off there. Yeah, that was good. He was like, I covered that. Gwen Stefani. I built that image in Keith's head now.
And check.
Gary Busey's like, and what did you do again? What was it you did?
Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt are supposedly talking about getting married. I like that. I like when they get married because it's a very Hollywood-y thing. They're thinking about getting married because they're kids like the idea.
Yeah. I think the little precious snowflakes, you're going to do this kind of stuff to like please the kids.
Well, plus if they want to also join our who's getting divorced categories, they have to get married first, I guess.
They don't feel secure enough with movie star parents and millions of dollars and all the fashion and whatever transgender thing they want to pull off or mohawks they want to wear. Those kids have everything.
Well, they don't have married parents.
Wow.
You can say you can list all those things, but by definition, Shiloh's a bastard. Is that not incorrect?
Well,
that's the only name
married.
I know. That's the only name
that's
I know.
The only name you know?
I don't know the other 14 names. Oh, Maddox is a good one. Yeah. That's a good one, yeah.
Leaf, River. Oh, no. That's totally another family.
I would have bought it.
Free.
Demi Moore, because of all this now, she's dropping out of that Lovelace movie, correct?
Yeah. She was going to play Gloria Steinem. And they're now looking at the one from Weeds or whatever.
No. You know who just saw? Who I just heard?
Oh, wait,
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Sarah Jessica Parker. That's awesome. Cool.
Why the long face? She's playing Gloria Steinem. But people, dude, that is a tough movie. That Lovelace. Wasn't it originally, who's the other one that got, who was uninsurable?
Lindsay Lohan was uninsurable and couldn't do the Lovelace project.
So now who's playing that role?
Amanda Seyfried.
Amanda, she's pretty.
I think
pretty
so. Girl. I think that she's doing every role in town right now.
She's great. Yeah, that is true. She's great. Sarah Jessica Parker in as Gloria Steinem.
Demi Moore out. And
Demi
I
Moore
don't
out.
Think she's going to be mentioned as, oh, hey, look, we've got Demi Moore on this movie.
No.
She's kind of B, C, D list now.
That's tough. Yeah, that's tough.
Really tough. She's going to have to do
bouncing back.
Barbara Walters, she can do some sort of special.
Well, that's usually,
cry.
Yeah. You cry, yes. When you cry, then that you're starting to come back. Right, well, you know what? Then let me throw this question
at
you. Well, before I get to this.
Someone's going
to
make her say the word whippet.
Before I get, yeah, that's when she'll cry. And yeah. God, I'd rather it be Oprah than Dr. Phil. If it's Dr. Phil, I'm going to be pissed. And if it's Dr. Drew, I'm going to be pissed. Before I get to what I'm going to ask you is.
And if it's Jonah Hill, I'm going to be really pissed.
Who has the biggest meltdown of all time? Before I get to that,
yes.
Let's throw this possible person into a future meltdown category. Did you see the photo of Miley Cyrus blowing a birthday cake? Did you see that?
Yes, I did. Hot on the heels of her talking about weed and this and smoking salvia and
I didn't know about that.
There was another birthday party a couple of months ago and
were they hiring her out for birthday parties to blow the cake? Do you see that didn't see it, it was a photo for her boyfriend. I believe it was her boyfriend's birthday and there's a big penis-shaped birthday cake that she posed.
Penis-shaped is you're being really liberal with the freedom to have people to imagine it not looking exactly like a penis. It was a penis and balls. A huge, softball, grapefruit-sized balls, and like a 2.5-foot penis that was like a foot thick. Really stubby, short one. Like a roller skate key, it really reminded me of.
Well, you don't necessarily want to be the first one to slice into that, but she was there posing away with her mouth open, which, you know, is funny. But when you're her, you have to assume that that's going to be splashed all over the place. You would think at some point in time, since you've been 17 or 16 and dancing around a stripper pole, you would assume you see that coming. But she's well on her way to Britney-ing out, I think, as well. Can Britney be a verb? Is Britney a verb now?
Yes.
Okay.
Britney. Pull a Charlie. Pull a Britney.
Nice. So, yeah, Demi and Heather may have to save Miley a bed.
Do you have specific girlfriends in your entourage to like spread that? You take the picture. No, use your phone. No, you upload it. No, you spread it. It's like, you know, obviously got out and she's going to know who took it. And, you know, is she pissed about that? She's like, oh, I made the trades this week for awful stuff, but there's no such thing as bad press.
No, there isn't. Well, then let me ask you this then. Biggest meltdown. And we're talking Britney Spears.
Yeah.
Now we're not talking one bad day.
Like a Lindsay Lohan.
Yes, we're talking hey,
slow motion.
Right. And it could be fast motion, but it could be here's your career and then bad shit happened.
Right.
And I will tell you the one person on this list will stand out as someone who has rebounded better than when he fell off this list in the first place.
I see
but
that.
Britney. Lindsay Lohan, yep. Mariah, she was a mess always.
Mel Gibson. Mel Gibson,
that's,
full meltdown.
Yeah, that's good meltdown. Charlie Sheen.
Now, why was that stuff public? And the tape and the whole thing. It wasn't public, but they have that recording. Mel going on.
They have so much shit recorded.
They have him in video in the cell. Didn't you say there was something about him banging against the bars and acting like total ape shit holding for sheriffs?
No, you completely made that up.
I made that up?
Yeah.
Gus knows nothing about that.
No, I know nothing about that.
Good.
You can't prove it.
I can't prove it. Nobody saw me.
Charlie Sheen. No. But
Charlie Sheen's meltdown was epic and probably one of the top, you know, concerns for money.
Rarely can you get like a weekly webisode meltdown like he had. Or a daily webisode
that
meltdown.
That was fascinating.
That was.
It also burned out really quick. We were done with winning and shark's blood and whatever.
That is true.
Shark,
and you know what?
Tiger's blood.
Far as the Mel thing goes, by the way, yeah, there was not only him doing it to the cop, but then there was all sorts of stuff his ex-wife or girlfriend or whatever it was put out also. So there was all sorts of video and audio on him that did not help his case. Tom Cruise. Here's who Tom Cruise has to love. Mel Gibson. Because Tom Cruise and Mel Gibson basically were both beloved individuals. And then Tom Cruise kind of went a little crazy Scientology on you and said some stuff to Brooke Shields about no postpartum depression and things along those lines. And he lost a lot of the public. But Mel Gibson said, oh, I see you're crazy, and I'm going to double down on your crazy. And he's like, I hate everybody. I hate everybody you can think of except myself. And that pretty much made Tom seem, not so bad.
Yeah, Tom Cruise wasn't that bad. What you said about Cruise brought to mind a woman who was having a breakdown but was saved by one of the biggest disasters this country's ever encountered. Paula Poundstone. Endangering minors. Remember drinking and taking the kids to ice cream and this whole thing of like endangering the kids?
I remember something about that.
Yeah, because
it
happened like 9/5 and 9/11 happened.
I thought
it was a week before 9/11.
I thought there was an event.
And Paula Poundstone was like, whew, oh, God, I'm saved. I'm off.
But do you not know about, I don't know what the investigation was. I don't want to say that she was guilty of anything when I don't know what. I remember there being something said, and then I have no idea.
They would have spent more time on that and developed that story if obviously 9/11 hadn't happened, but sometimes you can be rescued by really awful stuff.
That is true. Or sometimes you can be rescued by not being guilty.
Or by another star that goes even more nuts, like Whitney Houston.
Oh, that's good crack nuts.
Let's do a whole series on being nuts. Bobby!
That's good.
Bobby!
Good crack nuts. That was nice.
Michael Richards had one of those quick meltdowns.
Yeah, that was.
Sometimes you do something so bad, there's nothing, there's no, you don't, it's not a series of things or, oh, we saw that coming. It was, he did what? Oh, that's it. It's over. Close the door.
Yeah.
Some things are unforgivable, even in the context of comedy.
That's true.
There's a line. If it bends, it's comedy. If it breaks, it's not funny.
Yeah.
He broke it.
Yeah.
And then your big comeback king.
Yeah, he was fantastic. He's Robert Downey Jr. I mean, he was
in better shape than he was before.
Yeah, he was waking up in other people's houses, and now, you know, he's Iron Man.
Nick Nolte was bailing him out before.
Nick Nolte, one of the best shots of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Headshots.
Yeah.
No.
Mugshots. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
It looked like
shows you what town we're in.
The press shot from Teachers. It literally, he was a mess, a big, hot, sweaty mess.
Oh, that was horrendous.
Thanks for showing me Trunk Monkey, by the way.
Oh, Trunk Monkey was awesome.
I really appreciate Trunk Monkey. That made me laugh good. Everyone at home, go ahead and look up Trunk Monkey. A series of ads, and they're just absolutely hysterical. If you like monkeys. Hey guys, look at the silly monkey.
Before we get back to the list and try to narrow this thing down,
okay.
Have you seen, or are you going to see any of these 3D re-releases, like Star Wars?
I'm excited about Star Wars. I don't know about Titanic so much, but Star Wars, I think, would be something worth seeing what Lucas shit on everybody again. If he tweaks other things, that's really going to be pissed off.
Well, it amazed. They used to find, like, it was like, oh, well, here's, you know, they used to either redo stuff, and then it was, well, now we're going to re-release it for the 20th anniversary. Now it's, okay, well, now we can put in a couple of extra scenes we couldn't put in 25 years ago, so we're going to re-release it. Now it's like, well, we got it in 3D. In a couple of years, you're going to be like, well, now 25% more magenta in the film. We're going to re-release it. You're like, you know, I love Star Wars. I've seen it a gazillion times. I've seen them all. And then I actually was dating a girl who I convinced to watch episode 1 through.
Yeah.
1 through. We watched 1, 2, saw episode 3 in the theater, then went home and watched 4, 5, and 6. And it was, you know, great. But I don't know if I need, you know, to see it another way. They're re-releasing that.
Awesome. I do want to see it. You know, it's going to be
all
expensive.
Six, you're
going to
see
be expensive.
That's $17,000 in tickets to see Star Wars.
Uh-huh.
At least six by the time they come out.
George Lucas needs the money.
Yeah.
They need to dig and find his chin again.
Aww.
And he needs the money. Sorry, George. No. I'm never going to work for him anyway, so what the hell?
They're re-releasing a bunch of Disney flicks, Beauty and the Beast in 3D, Finding Nemo, Little Mermaid, all the Lord of the Rings movies. Titanic, you said. Basically, yep, everything Titanic. That's made a ridiculous amount of money, they said, hey, what if we re-release it? And now we can charge more because it's 3D and you need those stinky glasses.
And I notice a lot of them are animated or have a lot of digital elements, which makes it easier to do a 3D conversion. If you had stuff in computer space anyway, so you were like faking, building it in 3D universe, and then it was a 2D film like Titanic or even the first three Star Wars, it was all digital. Though I think the big challenge is going to be episodes 4, 5, and 6 because there's not a lot of digital elements, only a few, and those are only in the new shots that they put in. Those will look great, but how, you know, which sun is closer on Tatooine? Yeah. There's going to be an arguments about, I didn't know his lightsaber was that long. Yeah,
somebody's going to put out a 20-minute YouTube video on why the movie was ruined.
But the shot on the Falcon in episode 4, when Luke's got the blast helmet on, and he's playing with the little, the droid then spinning in the air and shooting little lasers in his ass. That's going to be floating right in front of your face. If they do not use that to be literally right in front of your face, he blew a great 3D opportunity.
No, actually,
the trench run in 3D.
There's a lot of it that I'm sure they're going to use, and it's going to be great. But I don't know. I mean, I love 3D movies. I look forward to 3D movies, but I look forward to seeing 3D movies that I want to see.
What's sad is they're not making movies even better than Episode 1, 2, and 3. Everybody dogged on Phantom Menace. Everybody
they're doing all 6. They've already done all 6.
But actually, they're holding up when you see the crap they're making now.
But they're re-releasing all 6 of them. I mean, it's I want to see 3D movies, but I don't necessarily want to go see 3D movies of movies I've already seen 15 times.
I'd see them all in one night. If there was a 12-hour marathon of all these Star Wars movies, my ass would be numb.
Here's the thing is, I would probably go with you to see that. But in theory, I'd rather them come out with a new superhero movie that I can see that's in 3D, as opposed to, hey, the next 3D movie I'm going to see is a movie I've seen 35 times already.
They will. The Resident Evil's in 3D. The Underworld is in 3D.
When I went to see Avatar, that's what brought 3D back, basically. Yeah. And when we went to see that with the new technology, I was all excited. I figured, well, you know what? probably wouldn't have got to see Avatar, but if you're going in the theater at least, but if it's going to be this new technology, I'm going to go check it out. So I go with a friend of mine, and we're, you know, the movie hasn't started yet. They're still telling you to be quiet and no talking and buy some popcorn. And I look to my right, and the guy that I'm with is sitting there with his 3D glasses on, looking at non-3D, well, looking at no special effects, just staring and waiting. And so I look at him, and he looks at me, and I grab his face, and I go, "It's like you're right here next to me." And with my hand on his face, he looks at me and goes, "I don't get it." I go, "What? You don't?" He goes, "I've never seen a 3D movie ever." So really? So that added so much enjoyment. Yeah. Basically, every 10 to 15 minutes, I'd hear him say, "Oh, this is awesome. Oh, this is awesome."
They're debuting new glasses-free TVs. So without glasses, you just look at it and boom, it's in 3D. They say it looks stunning. I've seen the Sony 3D camera. They have a 3D video camera, and this thing has a little flip open monitor, Gus, and really? It's 3D without glasses.
And it looks good. You saw it?
It's amazing. And it was projected up on a big screen in the store, in the Sony store.
Wow.
I like some Sony products. I've always had the Sony cameras. Can try to get the TVs. Everything just works. It looks beautiful. The 3D is amazing. And this, without the glasses, that's absolutely the next. It's very holography feeling. They can figure out a way to do, you know, a room full of people can all be seeing that. They've done it because I don't want to freaking wear the glasses. I don't. They have 3D games. All the video games that are out now are already work for 3D because of how easy it is. So I want to see. Can't wait for these TVs to come out that you just sit there, no glasses, and you can see.
Well, awesome. Yeah, that's going to be phenomenal. I can't wait for that technology. And I feel bad for everyone that spent thousands on, here, you need these two glasses. It's only two people can watch the TV. You had to know they were coming out soon.
Burn.
You had to know it was coming out soon.
These are $69 a pop. Yeah.
Okay, so here we go. I'm going to go through this list, okay? Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to go through this list.
And I'll say
you
yay
tell
or nay.
Me, yes, you tell me yay or nay.
Okay, and then you
And then up. After that, we'll see how close we are.
A fair way to do it. And go.
Happy Days.
Yay.
I'm going yay on that one. Welcome Back, Kotter. I will wait on it. I will wait on it because I'm not. I will wait. Seinfeld.
Yay.
Cheers.
Yay.
Okay, that is three so far. Mork and Mindy, you already gave me your answer on Mork. I don't know why you hate your...
No. It's great. Just we got a Happy Days. We don't need more Ken Minnie.
I'm with you. But I do
or
like
if
the
we
fact
do Happy Days,
on,
we don't know.
I do like the fact that you were on that show. Dick Van Dyke Show.
No.
Okay. But Black and White Mary, for the love of God. What's
no,
the matter
no,
with
we
you?
Love Black and White Mary.
Cosby Show.
Yes.
Cosby Show, yes. Soap.
No.
Soap, no. But a great show.
No, great show.
Taxi.
Yeah, I'm going to slip Taxi in there.
You know what?
That was a really good show.
Taxi, if you look at all the characters, it'd be hard for me right now to say no to Taxi. Roseanne.
No.
No, but groundbreaking.
Yep.
Married with Children.
Wow. I got to give it to one Fox show, either Simpsons or Married with Children. I would put Simpsons above Married with Children, to be perfectly honest.
I can't see Married with Children
all right.
making it.
All right, no.
At this point, we have 1, 2, 3, 4 shows that are in so far. All in the Family.
Yes.
All in the Family.
Absolutely.
Family Ties.
Nah.
No. Alex P. Keaton, you're out. Three's Company.
No.
No,
not in the top 10. Come on.
All right.
That's like a 12. Very close.
Oh, my Lord. Three's Company.
I know.
Larry would come over. They got the
we'll
hot chicks in the hot tub.
We run through the list. We'll see. I'm going off the top of my
good
head.
Good times.
We
got good times.
Good times now.
It's a great place for John Amos to seem just angry as could be at all times. He's awesome. He is great. he really is. Home Improvement.
No.
You were disgusted with that whole idea.
No. No.
I Love Lucy or Honeymooners, and I'll let you choose between one of those.
Wow, they're both great. I would probably say I Love Lucy over Honeymooners.
And would you put that in?
Yeah.
Okay.
That would be tough.
Something has to represent at least that era.
Something in black and white.
The Mary Tyler Moore Show.
No, same thing with Dick Van Dyke Show. Both close and aggregately all that universe and the Ed Asner and all that stuff. That all adds up and creates, yes.
Another John Amos was in Mary Tyler Moore as well. South Park and Family Guy or Family Guy. Either one of those.
No, I would go Simpsons as breaking the ground and being an endurer and being in there for years.
Okay.
And it's not, and Family Guy's not everybody's taste.
That's true.
Simpsons is more a family show.
That is true. And I mean, but if you're going to put Simpsons on a list, I would assume Simpsons is a, that's more for the run of it as opposed to anytime recently. Simpsons is not, and I love the Simpsons, but I mean, for a decade, for 15 years, it was phenomenal. I think it's hard to continue to be at that same level.
Yeah, it had more great years than other series even had years.
Yes.
So it may have waned a little bit now, but let's put it on there.
Gilligan's Island.
Yes. Yes. I think Gilligan's Island is a favorite of everybody. Yes.
Really? You were insane.
Yes. No, I'm not.
I do love Gilligan's Island.
Everybody loves it.
Marianne or Ginger?
Really?
Which one?
Wait, which one was which?
Seriously?
Wait, Marianne's the girl next door and Ginger's the movie star?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Ginger.
No, you cannot make a Sunday out of them. No.
Sure.
No.
Gidget.
By the way, the correct answer was Marianne.
Is it? Okay.
Sorry. Fresh Prince. Loved it.
Oh,
I don't think.
No.
I don't think so, but fantastic show. Loved it. Night Court. Also loved it, but
loved
I can't say that.
No, not top 10.
No. Somehow Alf made the list. That's already off.
That's off.
Golden Girls.
No, pass on tonight.
Newhart. Mad About You.
Great, but no.
Different Strokes or Facts of Life?
Let's put Different Strokes on there.
Oh, Different Strokes.
I think Different Strokes.
The first
Okay.
Jeffersons.
Yeah.
Moving on up with Wheezy.
Jeffersons. And I understand I didn't give it to Mork and Mindy being a spinoff of Happy Days. And I know that Jeffersons is a spinoff of All in the Family.
Doesn't have to be a hard, fast rule. I'm fine.
But that both good shows.
We do not need consistency
and
here.
That was one I would watch.
We're looking for opinions. We do not need consistency in any way, shape, or form.
You won't get consistency from my opinion.
You were golden. Jefferson,
I would like to go back to my store where I'm the one that dispenses the insults. Thank you.
Brady Bunch.
Yeah!
Really?
Yes, Gilligan's Island and Brady Bunch, if either or, but I'm going to put both for now because I don't know where we're at in the count.
Okay, I tell you what, though. When I swing the axe, if I got
to
swing this axe,
to the Brady's.
It's landing on a Brady.
11 people ducking. Yeah. Okay.
let's go with Friends.
Yes.
Friends was...
Friends and Seinfeld. Yes.
We have Modern Family.
Wow. I mean, it's got to stand the test of time, but after just the two seasons, I mean, what a great show.
Great show. But
standing on the backs of a lot of shows, and I think that's why Home Improvement doesn't make the list, because Home Improvement was standing on the backs of a lot of great shows. So Modern Family,
not long enough of a run yet.
And it's also not your typical sitcom. I mean, it's good, but
it's a great show.
Yeah.
And it has
wide appeal. Use its setup as a gimmick more so as a really rich part of the show. So that's where it's different. It earns it.
I will go with Not Enough History on Big Bang Theory as well, despite being currently a very popular show. But yes, not a long enough run yet. Maud. And or Get Smart.
Get Smart is a possibility. I was just in the bathroom thinking about Get Smart.
That's weird.
For no reason other than...
That is weird. I'm not going to lie.
Doors were opening and closing. I don't know. But no, Get Smart. I love me some Get Smart.
Where was this bathroom?
What a bad movie, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's no good.
So Get Smart. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Nobody could deny that that's a great, funny show.
No, that is a great one. Okay, so here you go. You ready for our list?
Yes.
We have one Happy Days, two Seinfeld, three Cheers. This is not in any order.
No.
Three Cheers. We have four Cosby Show, five Taxi, six Three's Company, seven I Love Lucy, eight Gilligan's Island, nine Jeffersons, 10 Different Strokes, 11 Brady Bunch, 12 Get Smart, 13 Simpsons, 14 Friends.
Strike Get Smart, strike Jeffersons.
And Jefferson's out.
Now where are we at now?
We are at 12.
Okay, what's two shows? You said Gilligan's Island you're waffling on?
No, I'm more than waffling on Brady Bunch. Brady Bunch somehow, I don't understand.
Fine, it's cloying and yeah, it only had really two, three good cigars.
Here's my question about Brady Bunch. It is so unbelievably popular.
Police dispatched over a fight in downtown LA Brady Bunch.
It is so popular. It was never that funny, but it was only on for like 3 years, wasn't it?
Yeah, but we'd come out of the 50s and the 60s where divorce was unheard of. And here's a family of two divorcees and what the country was going through of mixing families. And, oh, I got new brothers. I got new sisters. So that's probably what was really, really popular. But, okay, take that off, and that's one more to go to winnow it down?
No. You know what I forgot? We need to get rid of two. Okay. Friends, Simpsons, Different Strokes, Gilligan's Island.
I take Gilligan's Island off.
Gilligan's Island off.
Yeah.
Probably Different Strokes.
For some reason, I want
Different Strokes is probably has to go as well.
Yeah. That feels about right.
So we got Happy Days.
Yes.
Seinfeld. Friends. Simpsons. Cheers. Cosby Show. Taxi. Was that seven?
Yep.
All in the Family. Yep. Eight. Three's Company. Nine.
Yeah.
And I Love Lucy, 10.
I'm really happy with that list because I couldn't think of one of those shows I wouldn't watch right now. No excuses. All of those shows, I think, are great shows. And we've got a good balance of men, women, black, white, adults, kids, right?
That is.
Risk takers, family shows. And I think, you know what? It's funny. Taxi almost helps define the list. It's one of those where it's unique enough, you know, you have a love for it, like Cosby Show, like yeah. Seinfeld, like Friends. Those are all shows I think that deserve to be on the list.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
That is
good. We'll post that online with the show description, probably, I guess, because that's a great way. We came up with our list. Thank you, everybody that called in and helped us. That was our kind of January mission. We will come up with a new list for February. Could be film related. We could go into dramas because I think Hill Street Blues is a great show. And that if we're doing a drama show or any procedurals, we could do like Cops and Doctors for a month.
And
we're done.
You have 6 days to come up with what my next list is.
I love it. Or like four because we always get together midweek and do all the research.
True. You have 4 days.
Damn.
You have a 4-day week to come up with my
list. I think that's a great list. Our official top 10
in no particular
TV
order.
Shows of all time. We've got The Cosby Show, Seinfeld,
Cheers, Happy Days, Taxi, All in the Family, Three's Company, I Love Lucy, Friends, Seinfeld.
That is a great list. That is a really great list. Well, thanks everybody for listening. That's our show for tonight. This has been The Call Sheet with Keith and Gus. Thanks for our callers. Thanks for all of our listeners. Yes, Gus?
Well, I know we have a week off, but there's no way in hell with my sports superstition that I'm going to sign off without hearing the same thing from you two. So if I can get one, please.
Let's go Patriots.
That shit.
Look of scorn. Your whole face changed in a split second when I said that. That was really good. That was totally just to get Gus. Let's go Giants.
That's what I want to hear. Jeremy?
No, wait. What is it again?
Seriously?
The Giants, right?
Seriously, yeah, yes.
Giants, isn't that a San Francisco team?
Yeah, they copied us.
Oh, okay.
What do you got?
Oh, go Giants.
Thank you very much. Holy crap, it's like pulling teeth with these people over here. Holy shit. Thank you very much. Let's go Giants. I will actually be back tomorrow night for the weekly wrap-up at 9 p.m. Western time. Pacific? Is that Pacific time? Is that how
that
most people say?
That is Pacific time, yeah.
Holy crap. That's
midnight Eastern. My goodness. That is 6 p.m. Hawaiian time.
They better get up early and download that shit.
12:30 for Newfoundland.
Holy crap.
That's pretty late. The Newfies better, but they party. So listen, everybody, thank you so much for listening. Have a great, nice night. Be good to each other. Isn't that from Pill Street Blues?
Sure.
Yeah. Get them before they get you. Have a good one. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Keith.
See you next week.
And have a good one, guys. Bye-bye.